Just do it, man. Let's do it. Oh. You never heard this one before.
No, this is new. Yeah. Ooh.
Just gotta... Okay. We to the verse drops.
Okay. Woo. Wait, what you trying to do to me? I like this.
Yeah. We to the verse drops, though. You ready?
Yeah,
you don't know who this is.
No, I gotta make it for my family.
Ooh.
No, I gotta focus on my sanity. Gotta have faith in my vicinity. Can't have you around moving timidly. I can see it now, how it's gonna be. So now that dies a memory. Now I'm getting paid with an enemy. I see you throwing shade, that's a penalty. Man, XL, know you people hate for my pen and felt. And XL, know you want me locked, living in XL.
Ooh, I like that fire.
I was made for
you think I could be in the next video as a hype man like that?
I think you can.
And brah,
I think you can.
I like that. You know we can't start a podcast without the good,
woo,
new, uprise
that's
music.
That's an American artist.
That is.
It's an American artist.
Is that what you did when you were in Los Angeles?
That's exactly what I didn't do. I was in Los Angeles. I made this connect. You know what? When the official, when everything comes together, we'll drop that, man.
Okay.
But, you know, we're moving towards the American side of the uprise now.
Oh, you said it. It's a global
side.
It has global reach.
Yeah.
It is music of the world.
Yeah.
And we'll get into your travels later because I don't even know how you are sitting here with me and not
functioning.
Yeah, functioning.
I'm a soldier. I'm a soldier.
You are.
I'm a soldier. Well, not like a real soldier.
But
those guys are. Those guys are serious.
Yeah, it's different. A soldier of travel.
Yeah, soldier of travel. Yeah,
welcome to the Jason and OC podcast. We've been missing, but all good reasons. OC has been extremely busy. Mm-hmm. I have been kind of busy.
So let me ask you this.
Tell me.
You know what I like? The fact that you just put everything on me. OC's been a... I saw you in New York.
I was going to say that.
Don't act like I didn't see you in New York.
True.
Like, you know, just in New York chilling. And you were there with me, Jason.
I was there with you.
Okay, good.
I just didn't do the other stuff you did. You know what I got to say, though?
What's that?
I want to tell everyone not to forget to subscribe. Because you know why?
Mm-hmm.
If you're subscribed, you never will miss an episode from us.
Yeah.
Because in the off season, it's erratic.
It's tough.
But we're doing things.
It's tough.
We're trying to develop and get more content to deliver to our people.
Mm-hmm.
It takes works and effort.
Content is the new data.
It is.
No. Data is the new. How does that go?
I think they're hand in hand.
Hand in hand. It's the new oil.
Yeah.
Data is the new oil.
Data is the new oil.
Content is how you get your data.
Yeah. It's another. They're both commodities now.
Yeah.
They're both extracted. But not from natural resources.
Yeah. Yeah. I can dig it.
Yeah. We followed each other.
You know what's so funny?
Tell me.
Speaking of natural resources.
Yes.
This is interesting that you bring up natural resources.
Okay.
Do you know, and I just saw this the other day, Singapore, Taiwan.
Mm-hmm.
Taiwan has the fourth most reserves as far as like money in the entire world.
Currency reserves. Gold.
Gold.
Yeah.
Taiwan does.
Yeah. There's a reason.
No natural resources.
Yeah. Right.
Singapore. Hardly any natural resources.
Yeah.
And these countries have developed the most, they have the most money.
They have accumulated.
Exactly.
So does China. China has more gold than anybody.
Exactly. I find that rather interesting.
Well, I think the reason is that whenever the countries go to the table to figure out whatever they have to negotiate with, say there's some kind of a global decline or whatever that might be, mm-hmm. What do they have if they come to the table? If currencies are devalued across the globe, you have to have hard gold.
Yes.
And you have to have that to come to the negotiating table.
My question to you is this, though, Jason.
Yes.
How do countries that have no natural resources wind up being the richest countries in the world?
They're not the richest. They just have they have a high level of reserve of gold.
No.
These
are among, obviously, America is the richest country in the world, but these Taiwan, Singapore are among the richest countries in the world.
Yeah, yeah.
How do countries with no natural resources become the richest countries in the world? Finland, countries like that, no natural resources.
Yeah,
how do they become the richest country in the world?
You become good at doing other things. You become good at, you usually become specialized in something else.
Yes.
You know, if they're especially as you realize you cannot extract something from the ground,
yes.
Which comes with its own implications, right? Because yes. most of the countries that have that
yes.
have a lot of political turmoil yes. and devastation
yes.
Because it's it's like there's a bunch of food in the fridge and it's a fight.
Isn't that straight? Like I find that so fascinating.
It goes back.
It's a gift and a curse.
It is. It is a gift and a curse. It is definitely a gift and a curse. And that's the way to start the podcast.
Look how he's just got sidetracked. Look how he just went. He just went there.
I mean, I get what you're saying, though. Yeah. I mean, there's a author by the name of Jim Ricks. But it's all about currency.
Yeah.
It's all about all his books are based on gold and global currencies and stuff like that. I mean, he's got his views, but very interesting read that ties exactly in to what you're saying. And I think it's always fascinating because you are a global dude and you have seen a lot firsthand. So you're like on the ground and you like see these things and you start to read and research and it sparks your interest. And I think that you question things and that's always cool because it makes me regurgitate information that I might have thought
mm-hmm.
I knew,
right.
But as I speak to you, it's more of an opinion based on some kind of article or book I read. It ain't working
You know what I love, Jason? I love when you start talking, right?
Uh-huh.
And as you're talking, I could see your mind changing. I could see your mind changing along the way. It's the funniest thing to sit here and look at, like, real time to see somebody. Because that takes intelligence.
I can see you look at me looking when that happens. It's like if I was lying to you at that moment, I'd be like, oh, he's got me. I'm done.
Where you think Simon
got nervous when we start talking about natural resources?
Yeah, he's like, where are these guys going?
He's like, they just got back.
I just want to talk about football.
No, I got a lot to talk. It's so much football. Ball to talk about, but to be honest, and we've talked about this before, OC.
Yeah,
we kind of let all that stuff shakes out because everybody's got an opinion, right? It's an opinion, but until the draft's over, until free agency's over, you can't really evaluate the moves, and then you really can't evaluate the moves until they start playing.
You got these kids who got drafted. You have a couple of years before
you know
who's who.
You don't.
You know what I mean? So, a lot of people are up in arms about the draft, and they're like, oh, this team had a D draft or an F draft, or this team had an A. You have no clue what's going to happen, man.
You have to realize teams are drafting for needs, not what some expert says this player is valued as.
Mm-hmm.
It's like, yo, I need a defensive end.
Yeah.
Like, there might be this receiver on the board that everybody's saying, well, why didn't you get him? I don't need that. Yeah. I need a defensive end.
Yeah.
Before we get into something big that happened today, I want to talk quickly about the draft. And I just want to say a couple of things. What do you think about Kyler Murray going first of all?
Well,
what's your opinion?
It's difficult for me because I'm not sure Josh Rosen was given – enough of a chance to truly make an impact in the NFL. But then again, there are these players that come along that are once-in-a-generation type players. And
agreed.
You just cannot pass up on them. So the fact that the Arizona Cardinals were willing to bite the bullet, so to speak, and admit, oh, well, we drafted a guy number 10, number one last year, and all of a sudden go back-to-back and get a quarterback number one this year, that is an amazingly difficult thing to do, but they did it. They obviously believe in the talent of this guy.
Yep.
And I got to be honest with you. I've only seen this one time before. Well, not one time. I'm not talking about this particular situation.
Okay.
But I remember last year with Alex Smith, the quarterback
of the
Kansas City Chiefs.
Yes.
All the things that he did.
Yep.
And then all of a sudden they ship him off and they bring in Patrick Mahomes. And I told you then, Jason.
Yes, you did.
They never do that. So the fact that they did do that means
said that.
This is a special player.
This
Kyler Murray must be a special generational type talent for them to admit they made the mistake and draft this guy number one overall.
You're right. I mean, it's a win now lead. They changed the coach. His offense, this is the perfect player. They have offensive line issues. Mm. This guy can obviously get rid of the ball quick and do crazy athletic things. I'm so excited. But back to Josh Rosen, UCLA guy. Mm. So, of course, I got love for him. We share the same friends. Mm-hmm. I think this is great for him.
Okay.
I think Miami is a great situation for him. And I wish I could have came up with this myself, but I stole it from listening to someone else. Mm-hmm. You know who else this happened to that went from the Atlanta Falcons to the Green Bay Packers?
Oh, I could only be one person.
And who's that?
Brett Favre.
There you go.
Is that what happened to Brett Favre?
I forgot all the
the
nuances of it, but how does this guy leave that team to another team?
You're right.
Think about it. No, at no time does franchise-type guys who end up being like that, unless they're the Kurt Warners or things like that who weren't drafted high, they don't come available.
You're right. Never. They never do.
So we got to watch this closely.
Yeah.
The way this is – Miami is now New England.
Yeah.
You have two teams in the NFL. Well, you got a couple more, but two teams that are just building New England. Mm-hmm. That's Detroit,
Miami.
They are – watch what New England's done. Detroit did that with drafting the tight end.
Yeah.
I mean, it's perfect fit for them.
Mm-hmm.
Perfect scheme fit. So, I mean, I'm real excited about this receiver that went to the Patriots.
Yeah.
N'Keal. I mean, he's about to – he's exactly – fits exactly what they need.
Yeah.
You know, so I think when you look at the draft, I'm looking at teams that got a player – or got something, got a scenario fixed that can impact them this year and can happen. So I'm, you know, I like the linebackers.
Yeah.
I think it's Devin White and Devin Bush.
Yeah.
Right? Is it Bush?
Devin White.
Yeah. Those two dudes.
They're getting it.
White went to Tampa. Bush went to Pitt.
Yeah.
Pitt moved up to get him. I mean.
They're looking for a replacement for Shazier.
So you have to look at that and be like, yo, that's a win.
Yeah.
And then. What's his name? Tampa's they lost their guy in free agency.
Yeah. Quan.
And they replaced him. So you look at that, and when I look at the draft, I'm like, those teams, they answered the bell with those kind of moves.
We think they answered the bell, but we don't really know.
We really think.
We're going to find that out sooner or later.
I have a quick question, and I just want to know your opinion, and then we're going to move on to something else. Because we're going to really dive into this draft even more and more. What's your opinion about Trump calling Nick Bosa?
Hmm.
I mean, if people don't know, he put some tweets out a long time ago. And one thing I say about this is, if I was a kid with Twitter or Instagram, I couldn't be on this microphone right now, because people would say, but you said this back in, you know, in 97. So it's not him. I'm, you know, kids are kids. But what do you think?
That is very, very interesting. Very, very interesting. Because obviously you know the NFL players and their feelings about that. So I think, well, what do we have here?
We just might have got a raise.
What's up? All got fired. Good to see you.
We're in the middle of it. Yeah, we're doing a little something.
Elsie, you see. Explain to everyone who just walked in, because you see the nervousness that took over my voice.
Your voice, you had a little high pitch in your voice.
Because I need you. It's like, where's Big Brother to get me? I'm scratching my neck right now. I'm nervous.
The main man, Mark Waller himself, had an NFL international come through, show us some love.
Show us some love.
It is.
I mean, he shot us out. He's like, you guys doing a podcast?
Doing
good work?
Yeah. Back to the question.
Okay. And I want you to explain what was kind of – what all happened. Because I kind of threw it at you, and I didn't give the listeners enough background.
No, the guy Bosa, you know, put out some pro-Trump tweets.
That's his right.
That's his politics. But then we all know
– And Kaepernick kind of
disagreed. Exactly. Okay. But we all know the NFL players, not the owners, the player stance towards President Trump because of some of the things that he said. My question is this. Yes, you're entitled to your beliefs. You're entitled to your opinion. But Do you put that out there knowing you're going to join a league that maybe 80, 90% doesn't like this particular guy? Now you've put a target on your back that maybe wouldn't have existed before. So I don't, you know, the only thing I question isn't this guy's ability. I don't question his, you know, morals, you know, the things that he thinks, the things that he says. He's 100% within his right. He's entitled to say those things and actually believe them. What I do question is the intelligence of of a person who wants to do something like that. Your, like, it just doesn't make
sense. Your next step in life could be
sense.
Up there, and you know this is all happening.
Yeah.
But I understand. And once again, I feel like he dealt with it pretty well. He took him down, kept his mouth shut because he figured he was going to San Fran.
Yeah.
You know what
yeah.
that environment's like.
Yeah.
Trump.
Yeah.
Skipping the first round pick, mm-hmm. not congratulating him,
mm-hmm.
but congratulating Bosa is yeah. like the slap.
Dog it's, whistling, man. Yeah. You know what that's about. You know what it is.
If anybody wants, he hates the NFL because he can't have a team.
Yeah.
This is the little kid that can't get the candy.
Yeah.
He wants a team.
Yeah.
You don't have this much hate for anybody or anything unless you are truly jealous.
Yeah, he's angry.
He's
an angry man. But let me speak a little bit about President Trump, our president, because, you know, let me speak a little bit about that.
Go ahead. I brought it up.
I find it really, really interesting when you look at what's going on in America, right?
Yep.
When you look at what's going on in America, and I was just speaking to my financial advisor 2 days ago.
Shout out to all the financial advisors in the world.
Yeah. And it was like, oh, see, the market is booming. You are up right now. You're up.
This is true.
Yeah. He said, you're up. And yeah, you look through the numbers, and there's a wide discrepancy between what President Trump stands for as a person, what President Trump says, and what's actually going on in the United States of America. If this guy wasn't so talkative, if he wasn't such a mean person, they would be looking at him as one of the greatest presidents of all time.
He would get a ton of credit, and people would be, he'd be walking into a second term.
No question. The economy booming. Unemployment.
Pro-business.
3.9%. Lowest since 1969. Black people unemployment. The lowest ever. Hispanic people unemployment. The lowest ever. Everything this guy is doing for the United States of America right now, you would be saying this guy is a tremendous president if he wasn't so mean-spirited.
Yeah.
And to me, I don't understand. You know, I'm not going to give him credit for all that, but he's in office.
Yeah.
So you have to point and be like, okay, the things that this guy has done. But when he did take office, people were like, oh, America is going to collapse. Mm-hmm. This is the end of the United States of America as we know it. But that has not happened. All we have is a mean-spirited man who, by all accounts, is running the country beautifully.
Yeah, I mean,
it's really interesting.
It's that's an arguable point, but truth is, and I will quickly scan over this, he's pro-business to the detriment of future issues, meaning the way he's killing the EPA,
yeah.
the Environmental Protection Agency. I mean, he's peeling back all these things that could hurt us in the future,
yeah.
but as you know, it's kind of like, I hate to use this thing, but it's like doing steroids.
Yeah.
You do steroids,
mm-hmm.
you get a boost.
Right.
But years later,
you pay for it.
I
get it.
And that's what he's done. He's there. It's pro-business. And you know what's crazy? People that are invested in the market, like you and I, we receive the benefits of
mm-hmm.
it. But there's not a lot of the population that sees those direct benefits unless they are invested in the market.
But how is the unemployment level the lowest since 1969?
Because
if
when there's
people aren't benefit,
they are benefit with jobs. Mm-hmm. Yes, that's completely true. And when there's pro business, right, your business is growing.
Yeah.
You gotta hire people.
You gotta hire people.
So he injected the economy.
He injected the steroids.
Yeah, and stripped back the layers. Yeah. Because he knew, got to give him credit, I need this thing booming.
Yeah.
That's what I'm going to run on.
Yeah.
And that's why anything that's happening, that's in the economy, he meddles in.
Mm-hmm.
And, you know, interest rates rising. Oh, they shouldn't. And presidents don't do that.
Yeah.
But he knows, I got to keep this engine running. Let's see how this turns out.
Yeah.
But
Jason,
it's happening.
I don't see how they beat him.
Man, we could go.
Don't see. I mean, I'm trying my best to see a scenario in which this man gets defeated, and I just cannot see it.
It's so early.
We
got to see who shakes out on the other side. We got to see who's running against him, and we got to see how that stacks
Joe
up.
Biden, Kamala Harris, Beto O'Rourke, Pete Buttigieg. I don't see any one of them defeating this man.
The polls say that all of them can, but they've said that before.
Yeah.
They've said that before. On another note, because we can go into this, I think you and I will probably talk about this for 15 hours after the podcast.
Yeah.
Wanted to know your opinion. Something happened today that you have had your finger on since the genesis of it.
Mm-hmm.
And this is one of the biggest announcements since the games out here.
Yeah.
And that is the launch.
Yeah.
Of the NFL Academy here in the UK.
Massive.
Explain how this thing came together and our role now.
It's hard. It's a difficult thing to explain how everything kind of came together because it started off with one idea. I came here. I met with Alistair. You know, Adam was here, Adam Dirt, who's now coaching the Atlanta Falcons.
Doing a great job.
Amazing guy. We got together, we discussed, and I was like, listen, Al, if you want the game to be successful, I see all the things you guys are doing here, and it's cool. It's outstanding. I love it. But if you want the game to be truly successful, you have to have British players.
100%.
You have to hire British players.
Got to.
He says, okay. He sat there, you know, because Al is very thoughtful, very pensive. Mm-hmm. He sat there. He thought about it. He was like, you're right. Now, go find the players.
Yeah. Good idea.
Okay. Go find the players. So, you know, sat there with Adam, you know, and that's how the whole international player pathway came about.
That was finding players.
Players, you know, that were already ready.
Ready to,
you understand,
go to the NFL
and give them a chance.
Right. And then you developed the program that each team had.
Exactly, a practice squad player.
Yes.
Yeah. So we go from that, and then, you know, we start thinking, and then, you know, from the lessons learned from that, you know, they decide, okay, it'll be better if we can get them at a younger age. You know, to start learning the game, start learning the terminology, because football is so much more than athletic ability.
Without a doubt, you need
to learn. The game has to almost be in your blood. So, you know, and then from there,
about your quarterback argument,
exactly,
which you have won,
exactly,
by the way.
Convincingly. But, you know, now, you know, it went from there all of a sudden to, okay, how do we get them younger? And then, you know, the whole academy idea was born, you know, marrying it with education and, you know, I'm so proud of what the NFL has done here, man. What Alistair and Adam and, you know, Will and Coach Tony, all these people, the things that they've done, the hard work.
Amazing.
You can't even imagine how difficult it is to pull something like this off. And this is going to be able to scale all over the world, man, to different countries, different continents, providing these guys the opportunity that they never would have had if they aren't in the United States of America, man. So this is fantastic.
It's almost kind of like, I was thinking of the uprise when you were saying this, and the reason why is like your whole kind of narrative is like, you know, inclusiveness, everybody together. Bam. Music does that. Something about sports that does that.
Yeah.
And not only are we going to develop the next NFL global star that comes out of here, it's going to happen.
Mm-hmm.
It's already has happened. But you're putting all these young people into society that have these skills that are going to work in corporations. They're going to raise families. They're going to be friends. And they understand each other from all different walks of life.
Yeah.
They understand a challenge, how to overcome that. And they're educated and have furthered their education because of this opportunity. This not only helps the NFL, this helps society as a whole. And you have your imprint all over that. And that's something for someone with two young children. One's getting a little older.
Right.
But he's older. Yeah. To say their dad did that.
Yeah.
That you should, you've done a lot, but make sure you don't ever downplay this.
You're going to make me cry, Jason. Can you stop it, please? I don't cry often.
This is it.
It's been a while since I cried, and I'm not trying to break down here in front of Simon. He's going to think so much less of me, and I don't really.
I mean, I just seen you do this. Okay.
Jason, I'm not interested in crying right now.
Okay, I'll change it up.
It's not in my best interest.
I'll change it up really quick, and I just want everybody to understand.
I see Simon looking at me right now. I'm not even going to turn around and look at him because I know what, you know, I know what he's looking for. And
Simon looks like a debt collector today. Yeah. Like, he's a debt collector. He's like, you know, I just paid my council tax, too, so I was a little scared. Anyways, I've been like running scared.
Yeah, but before you leave out of here, there's this matter of this council tax.
This came into the NFL office today. Will you pay your I've been out of the country, okay? All right. So, debt collector Simon over here. Osi, you've been coast to coast.
Okay.
And we were in New York together. You were in L.A.,
mm-hmm.
back to Atlanta,
yeah.
crying baby on a plane. Just tell me the crying baby story.
Oh, yeah.
That's all I want to know. Crying baby story.
So, okay.
Then we get out of here.
Yeah, no, it's cool. I got to explain something to you. First of all, when you're sitting business class or first class, right, mm-hmm. obviously those tickets cost a tremendous amount of money.
Arm and legs.
Yeah, they cost a lot of money. Excuse me. So,
you're paying for a decent environment.
You know. So I've been on a plane, fortunate enough to be riding first class, and I've had that baby crying nonstop. And I'm not a bad guy, just I'm not. But in my head, I'm like, oh my God, will they
just
somebody
this?
Do something? About this baby, like, you know, I want peace, I want quiet, I paid my hard-earned money to be sitting here in this environment. I don't want to listen to a baby crying
Wrap
for 11
up.
Hours. I have a kid now. I have a little baby boy. We get on the plane to New York, and this boy sits down on the plane, and from the minute we take off... So the minute we land, he is giving everybody hell. Wow, 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 wow. He will not stop crying.
Oh, my gosh.
The flight attendants are coming. He's all over the place. And I'm so embarrassed. I'm looking around. I'm like, oh, my God, please. And I'm trying to apologize with my eyes.
Yeah.
I'm looking around. Apologize with my eyes. I'm like, please forgive me. Please forgive me. Because I know what these people are going through. I've been there. I'm like, oh, my God, please forgive me. Please forgive me. But he's a baby. And there's literally nothing you can. I'm looking at my wife. I'm like, why haven't you trained this boy better? Why haven't you trained this boy? Why haven't you trained him to be like, oh my God, it was so embarrassing. So embarrassing, man. So shout out to the parents, man, with the kids who are giving them hell on that plane, man. Oh, I learned my lesson.
When you landed and told me that story, I said, hey, you make it in? You just sounded exhausted. You said, man, I got a story to tell you.
Nonstop.
Some quick questions. I know we got to get out of here. Been a long day.
Mm-hmm.
Ask OC. Ask J. Bell. Mm-hmm. Ron Bradshaw. Ron, that's not because of your name. Ron Bradshaw. That sounds like he works in a legal department somewhere.
Man, Ron Bradshaw.
Ron Bradshaw.
Ron Bradshaw says that.
His question is, thoughts on Russell Wilson getting paid.
Yeah, he deserved to get paid. He deserved to get paid, man. Obviously, to me, I think the world of this guy as a quarterback. I think his back should be hurting from what he's been doing for that Seattle franchise.
He has been carrying
that franchise, and they rewarded him aptly. The only thing that, you know, I felt was a little was the announcement. You know, you know, Sarah in the bed. Go Hawks okay now. But does he deserve that money? He deserves that money and more. This guy's a fantastic football player.
And he told them, what day they better do it, it's not happening.
I enjoyed that. when I see somebody flex like that, when you see a player flex like that, it makes me happy. He flexed.
I heard something that said the head coach was going to do with Russell Wilson was going to do like a parody of that.
Yeah.
And Russell was going to do the announcement, and he was going to get out the bed. With him. But I think they I just think they thought that was going to. Quick reviews on iTunes and everywhere else. We love them. Thank you. Emma in Scotland.
In Scotland.
Emma, what up? Can't thank you enough for the podcast. I appreciate your thoughts on life and football. We will always keep that coming. Keep trying to get taken off the air. Hashtag,
that is,
where's Jay Bell?
Where's Jay Bell at? Where's Jay Bell? They're going to be asking where's Jay Bell and OC pretty soon. Because my only goal is to push the needle far enough that they kick us off.
We keep trying. Andy Meds, last week I met Jason and Simon. You know what he said?
What did he say?
Hashtag where's OC?
There you go. There you go. Where's OC at?
He said he loves, is this what he said or is this what I'm saying? All right, because Simon, you know this debt collector.
Yeah,
he said he loves the podcast, 5-star reviews. He loves all our journeys and life stories. They make him laugh. We hope we gave you some good ones today. Been a crazy day. Mm. We got to run. I don't care how far OC travels and how tired he is. He does not miss his football games.
Nope.
When he gets back.
No, I got to play. I have to play.
He's got to play.
It's important.
He's got a game he got to go to now.
It's important.
Get it done.
Let's do it.
We out, man. Till soon. We're back in town.
He said till soon. He don't even know till when. Yeah.
So that was us at the podcast. You know our podcast style. We're going to give you a little extra treat. It's OC and I press conference style. So here's the audio of us at the launch of the NFL Academy. Holla at you later.
Let's do it.
Out. Uprise.
So we talked about ambassadors. We've got a few of our NFL ambassadors here today, including a couple you'll know from BBC's coverage of the NFL. OC Manure and Jason Bell, join me. Where's Jay Bell gone? Here he is. Yeah, he always was a big entrance at the back, didn't he?
No.
What's your walk-on music?
I got stuck in the back.
There we go. OC, this 2-time Super Bowl champion from London. Let's just first of all tell me your thoughts on this project and the NFL Academy.
2-time award-winning journalist, man. I don't go by.
I'm never going to mention that, OC. Never mentioned that.
Honestly, this is outstanding, man. I think, you know, from the genesis of this program, to see where it started, to see where it is right now, the opportunities that it's given so many people, the opportunities that it's going to continue to give so many people, man, it's just an honor and a privilege for me to be standing here before all of you guys here today. And everything that all the NFL has done, NFL UK, Alistair, you know, Dave, Sarah, everybody, Adam, all the people who've been involved in this from the very beginning, this has been really, really incredible, and I'm so proud to be here.
As Alistair mentioned, the games come and go, the teams come in and come out. This feels like a real foundational moment.
Absolutely. Now it's a permanent footprint in this country. And I just think that is what this sport needs, especially here. And it's because, as we spoke before, where we are in life is a completely correlates to football and education. Mm. I mean, the things we've had to do, the opportunities we've had, and those two things have always gone together. And to see that in fruition with all the hard work that other people besides myself have done, this is amazing.
Yeah. Oh, so you've been involved in the Player Pathway Program, which, of course, is that older level of players and getting them into the NFL. Do you think we'll see more players available for that now because of this?
Absolutely. I think the NFL, football in general, is a sport that's going to give people so much of a better opportunity than other sports to give people. For me, you know, I was born here in London. I went to Nigeria. I never heard of the NFL. I never heard of American football until I was 15 years old. And to make it to where I made it to is just a complete shock. It boggles the mind to think about it, but that is what the NFL presents. I think other than the quarterback position that you have to start playing when you're a really young, guy, I think every other position, you can learn that at a later age, because the skills translate. All you have to be is a very good athlete, and this is what this program is going to be able to provide for people. Are you going to see all these players make it to the NFL? Absolutely not. You're going to see a small percentage of them make it to the NFL, but I think the correlation is going to be direct to the way it is in America. 1-3% of the people who play college football make it to the NFL, and hopefully we'll get a high percentage here because the training is going to be so much more specialized, but you're going to see a smaller percentage make it to the NFL from here.
We're going to see some of the ambassadors that will come in and out of the UK and be involved in this program, but you guys are here. So you look forward to being regularly involved and getting on the field.
Oh, without a doubt. And you said the key word. I want to get on the field. I want to be out there working with these guys and showing them techniques and being able to bridge that gap between the classroom and the field, because I've been through it. I can explain to them what's going on in each segment of their life and be an impact there.
And there's a couple of times you mentioned that you will be reminding them this is an education thing as well. That's a big part of this.
Oh, it's all about education. I mean, just like OC said, it's hard to be a professional football player and to make it. And if you do, it's not going to be a long thing. You're going to be something else longer than you are a football player.
Right.
So your education is key and vital. But I think the advantage by being a player is you learn how to learn. You know what kind of learner you are. You know how to communicate with others from all different walks of life. And that's key as you go on into your future.
And that's where these guys are going to have to learn, the student athletes, obviously, because they're going to learn what it's like to effectively be a high school player in America.
Yes, and it's a very difficult thing to do, trying to balance both of those things, because to become an NFL player, to become even a college player, requires so much discipline on your craft, on your actual, you know, sporting skills. But then you also have to have the education part of it, which is equally as important, because like we alluded to earlier, not everybody's going to be able to make it to the NFL. So the fact that we're providing these guys an education, I think, is going to be the key selling point in what we're doing going forward.
All right, good stuff. Let's give it up for Jason Bell and two-time...
Joyce.
What is it?
Award-winning journalist.
Award-winning journalist.
Winning.
Makes me go cold just saying it. OC Umanyora, thanks, fellas.